NBA Australia. How are you going? I'm going to ask you, how are you going? You're right, I hope so. This is NBA Australia. It is Thursday, March 21, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. You can also hear me on the AFL Today show, the Supercoach official AFL show as well. All the good stuff. You can also see me on Fox Sports Live NBA. Lots of fun stuff, I tell you right there. I'm here in the James Clements Excellence in Podcasting Memorial Studios down there at the HWT building. Tell you what, weird day today. Blowout Thursday? I reckon we could call it that. You had two close-ish games, and the rest of them just absolute schmokeratins. I'll tell you, geez, some people got hurt. We've got some weird stuff going on with the Wolves, both ownership and in the front office. We'll talk about that in a second. Paddy Mills, Paddy Thrills, got an awesome start today for the Heatles, which was kind of fun. Joey Muzz is no longer allowed to block shots in dead ball situations. I love blocking shots, man. Hey, do you want to watch the town with me? Oh, fuck, I love watching blocking shots, man. Anyway, we'll cover all the games in the game wraps. We've got the old mate, no mates. That's on an iPhone. Spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. We've got some yeah-nahs. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got our back take here. So we're serving up a flame girl take. There is a bumper, I think. It's Andrew Gay's Grand Mumber Award, as well as a Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award. And then we'll preview and pick all the games for your Friday, which will be fun. Tell you what, could use a few tins on a Friday. Could use a few tins right now. So without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 1058 of NBA Australia. And let's go!
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. You better watch out for the gym attack, I'll tell you. See, Gerald, this is why people need to watch the YouTube. You can see me doing sick karate moves in the ad breaks. It's radical. Yeah! Tell you what. Actually, one of my greatest achievements, I think, this, there you go, a bit of hashtag dad Australia for you. One of my favorite achievements as a dad is to convince the five-year-old that his two favorite things are basically my favorite things when I was a five-year-old. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers. He's obsessed with them. I'm like, this is great. It's like absolute mini-me. It's like, this is entirely why you become a dad, right? He's like, I'm just going to mold you into basically a tiny, awesome version of me. But, you know, not as cool because you're five. But he's great. He loves it. He's like, seeing the teenage, he was like hanging out last night. I think Squid Number 2 has actually been sick, which has been bullshit. He had his vaccinations last week. And he's got, you know how they're always like, oh, you know, look out for the side effects. Gerald, you know, this is how they do it. And then you're like, he's like, yeah, yeah, fucking whatever. It's all good. This poor little bugger's copped every side effect under the sun. He's had like hives. He's had like the swelling of like the salivary glands and shit. Poor little bugger's beside himself. Anyway, he's hanging out. Meanwhile, the other squid is like, just fucking get in the shower, buddy. Go on. He's like, all right. See you, Dad. And we're just in there singing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm like, I'm so proud. I've never been more proud. It's amazing. Anyway, let's actually talk about some basketball because that's what this show is. Hashtag Dad Australia. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the daily. It's a whip around. I know that we have the whip around button here because I found it yesterday. But at the same time, it's a bit tough because you can't really change the levels. So when we're in the old Larry Armour studios, I've got the iPad next to me as well. But either way, let's start with the news. I skipped over this the other day. Isaiah Thomas is now a Phoenix Sun. The bloke was all like, oh, fuck, man. I'd win the MVP in the NBL in a heartbeat. It's like, bloke, you're fucking 4'10". Settle down. Angus Glover would knock your fucking block off. But by the same token, he went to the G League. We mentioned that in the news a week or so ago. And then the Suns have just sort of gone, fuck it. We'll bring back the little guy. And to be honest, the Suns just need vague, like, anything. A bit of bench help, whatever. It's also, and this is probably the most important point, a bit of fucking basketball karma, isn't it? That's what it's all about. You saw the Celtics get completely screwed over by the basketball karma gods time and time and time again because they fucked over, in turn, Isaiah Thomas and then Aaron Bangers Baines. You don't fuck with the basketball gods. Simple as that. So, good to see Isaiah Thomas, the little guy, the king in the fourth, back again, this time with the Suns. That was a magical season, wasn't it? That Jeff Hornacek season. he and fucking Goran the Dragon Dragic and shit. Anyway, speaking of the Celtics, Joey Muzz. Oh, fuck, I love you, man. Oh, fuck, Jason. Oh, fuck, I love you, bro. Do you want to go watch The Town? Fuck, it's just the best movie, bro. He's been banned from blocking shots during, like, dead ball situations. I thought that was fucking cool as the other day. Yeah, it's probably not ideal because you could probably either injure another player. Like, blocking the opposition shot when, like, the whistle's being called, Gerald. He's like, ha-ha, fuck you. I'm going to try to block it. It was awesome. Pretty funny. But yeah, you can see where the danger could be. But fucking grow up. Don't be a sook, Adam Silver. I can't have another coach trying to injure an opposition player. Joey, you can't do it anymore. Oh, come on, fucking Adam. Just fucking let me have a go, bro. You should just fucking sit down and watch The Town with me, man. It'd be fucking sick. I fucking think you'd fucking love it, man. No, I don't want to watch The Town with you, Joey. Stop calling me. That's exactly how that conversation went. Anyway, so Joey Muzz did come on. I think he was on on a bit of Boston radio. And they're like, yeah, I can't say who banned me, but I'm not allowed to do it. So it's either his boss, i.e. Brad Stevens, or it's the fucking NBA league office, who, as we've broken down time and time and time again, look, they should just go, Jim, should we ban Joey Muzz from doing this? And I'd say, look, you could. But also, don't be sooks. Just fucking let him do it. It's cool. It's fun. It's just a bit of a laugh. And if you injure somebody, then you can fire him into the sun. I don't care. Either way, it's just sad. What happened to the cool NBA that I grew up with? Where you could just fucking knock someone's block off. Anyway, weirdness going on at the Wolves. So much weirdness. So an employee for the Wolves is apparently arrested, fired, and charged with felony third-degree burglary because I think, what is it, Sachin Gupta left a hard drive full of stuff, Gerald, on his desk in his office. And this other bloke, Somak Sakar, allegedly, who's like a coaching analyst, basically wandered in there, went, hold on, can anyone fucking see me? Fucking don't think they can. Bit of a sneaky sneak, sneak, sneak. And then just fucking nicked the goddamn hard drive, apparently, allegedly. So they're like, I don't know if you can do that. What are you doing again? And apparently it had like all this insane like internal files on it, including strategic NBA information, but also like all of everyone's salary information and his own, like their dude Gupta's like own financial stuff and shit. You're like, yeah, that's just fucking flat out illegal. What is going on in Minnesota? Jesus. And then the other one that broke today was Woj and Shams having a bit of the old fucking 1-2 Costa Zoo, bit of the old biffo about what the fuck was going on with Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez, aka A-Rod, the new prospective owners of the Timberwolves. You might remember they agreed to basically buy it in installments. I like that you can put an NBA team on layaway. Just put it on lay-by. Just take it up to the counter at Kmart and just go, yeah, can I pay this off over the next 5 years? And they're like, fucking sure. Why not? All right. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. Why not? So they've bought 40% now. It's like in 20% installments. And there's 40% more that they agreed to buy to make them the controlling partners. But then Woj and ESPN were like, yep, the people who are going to give them a bunch of the money for that, to the tune of at least 300 mil, they've just gone, oh, yeah, nah, not today, pals, fuck, whoops. We overestimated that. So they backed out. That was the Carlyle Group, apparently. Now they've just delivered, they had realized that this was happening, and they went, right, hang on, what we need to do is actually figure out how to fix this, and we're going to speak to other people. So they were speaking to other people behind, basically knowing that this was probably going to fall apart. So they've got other sources of money. It's another kind of hedge fund money thing. So cool. So it appears that they're still going to be buying it from Glenn Taylor. The weirdest part is Glenn Taylor doesn't seemingly want to like sell it. He's just like, oh, it'd be a real shame if this fucking fell over. I'll tell you what. It's just he's a weird dude. But either way, it's good that Laurie and Rodriguez are getting it back under control because that means KG can finally have his number retired as a Timberwolf. Big Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart is out for the rest of the season due to a hammy ping, which is a bit of a tough one. But at least LeBron can now sleep easily at night. Or could he sleep less easily knowing that Beef Stew's at large? Just be walking down the street going, fucking what was that? Oh, it was Beef Stew. No, it was just a really massive shadow. Anyway, and JB Bickerstaff. Now, this one's obviously a little bit near and dear to my heart, being, you know, like a betting analyst and shit like that. I almost said betting analyst. What's going on? Ah, geez, Gerald, it's all falling apart. But still, JB Bickerstaff, coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, he got threats from gamblers last season. Now, I've talked about this on the show before. I don't know if the US completely understands what it's in for when it comes to sports gambling. I think the UK and Australia have got its own sort of queries, qualms, problems that I'm not going to even say dealt with at all, but like we have a substantially smaller population than the US. And I don't know, people in the UK and the US and Australia are a little bit fucking different to all the absolute fucking psychos out there in the USA who also have guns. Like, it's not great. So, yeah, JB Bickerstaff makes a couple of fucking coaching changes. It blows your fucking same game multi. Suddenly you got some lunatic with a gun going, I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to fucking kill him. It's like, well, now we have to take that threat seriously because you've fucking loaded up to the gills with a bunch of fucking shooters, you lunatics. Anyway, so JB Bickerstaff said, they got my telephone number and were sending me crazy messages about where I live and my kids and all that stuff. What the fuck, man? So it's a dangerous game and a fine line that we're walking for sure. And this is going to get fucking worse before it gets better. It's like for all this shit that we've seen in Australia where athletes have just copped it left, right, and fucking center on social media and shit, which fucking sucks. And this is always going to be one of my points. What are you doing? Just take a long fucking hard look at yourself. You're going to yell at an athlete. Oh, man, I can't believe you cost me my multi. Fucking what? Don't be that guy. You know, simple as that. And the US has a lot of that, guys. It's not going to go well. Anyway, let's do some game wraps. Game wraps. That's right, the game wraps from today. We had the Miami Heat. This was one of the close games. There was only two of them, as mentioned. 107-104, thanks to Terry Rozier. Close, weird game because the Cavs, obviously without Donnie Mitchell with his busted nose, the Heat started Patty Thrills, Patty Mills, which is fan-bloody-tastic. And the Cavs, though, were right there with them for most of this game. Had the lead late, and then Terry Rozier goes, not on my fucking watch, check this out, 4-point play, bang in your face. And they came from the clouds after Cleveland had fought, scrapped, and gotten back in front late in that fourth quarter, and then the Heat just fucking stole it from them. It's just, you can't fuck around with the Heat. It's simple as that. Like, Butts was awesome. It's just weird to see this sort of closing lineup that they're rolling out there with, like, Terry Rozier, Butts, Jaime Jaquez. No Bam in this one either, right? So Jovic was out there, and this is just like, and Caleb Martin and stuff, you're like, it's a weird, janky lineup, but fuck, I actually don't mind it. Jovic is just a little bit of something. He's just, you know, I keep saying that he's Nikola Jokic from Wish, he and Alperen Şengün, but this is like the Michael Jordan sort of style from Wish kind of thing, Gerald, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan from the Chicago Dolls. But Jovic was really good and had like a massive, massive shot late that could have been a dagger, but goddamn. Anyway, Cleveland, they got 25 and 20 from Go The Fro Jared Allen, which was awesome. But also when it's Thomas, not Kobe Bryant, as the other big man, not a giant surprise that he got every rebound under the fucking sun. 20 points and 9 assists for Darius Rucker, Judy Garland, though, and he shot 7 of 18. It was a bit of a tough one. He had 16, 5, and 12 for my sweet baby, Caris LeVert. Also had a really, really bad turnover right at the end that really, really hurt them. 18 and 3 for the minibus, George Niang. The minivan, George Niang? Yeah, that's all right. But then this is it. Like, Sam Merrill hit 4 threes, but that's it. That's, like, the extent of the Cavs' depth at the moment without Moby Lee and Donnie Mitchell. It's just really thin on the ground. It's a lot of Mook Morris, you know what I'm saying? For the Heaters, you did get the 34 and 5 with 4 steals from Jimmy Butler. Love that. Jovic had 14 and 6, and you got 24 from Terry Rozier because he hit 5 threes. And, of course, our man Patty Thrills had 10 points and 4 assists, and I loved it. He looks so fucking clean in that 88 sweet white Heat jersey as well. Loved every second of that. Only 7 turnovers, though, for the Heat. That's a big win. 38 and 31 now. Cleveland dropped to 43 and 26. What were the other games, Jim? Well, I'll tell you. Indy kicked the fucking shit out of Detroit. It was just sad at one point. You're like, ah, oh, stop it. He's already dead. 122-103. I had actually had a, you know, speaking of multis and gear, I had a pretty nice one. I'd nailed it with Siakam, the 25, 8 and 4. He ran roughshod right off the top. And 20 points and 9 assists for Tyrese Halliburton as well. Very handy. He had 4 steals as well, did Halliburton. The big one for me was that, like, Cade Cunningham went 0-2 from downtown, but he had the 23 points. He was looking pretty good. He had 10 assists, 6 rebounds. But the 9-22 shooting for the 23 points is a bit of a problem when you're not hitting threes, obviously. And Jalen Duren couldn't quite dominate. He got to 11 points and 12 rebounds. Breaking my heart, Jalen. Breaking my heart. 15 and 12 is what I needed, just saying. What am I going to do? Hit him up on social media? I can't believe he cost me my multi. Again, don't be that guy. But that was about it. Detroit just stink. They were getting fucking walloped all game. And, yeah, there you go. Pacers 39-31, Detroit 12-57. Up next we had, there was, the Milwaukee Bucks. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. It was not the good land today because they got beaten by Boston, but they came flying out of nowhere to make this a one-possession game right at the end because fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world, had a couple of the most ridiculous threes you'll see. He's just like fucking cock it, shoot it, bang, off he goes. And they got it down to a one-possession game after being down 21 points in the fourth quarter. Do Boston have a closing out problem? Yeah, nah. Yeah. Tatum had 23 points at the half. And he closed with 31. You're like, I don't know, Jason. Jason, do you want to wash the fucking town with me? Maybe you should watch some game tape and actually prepare and like close out some of these fucking games. Because when it degenerates into just like a bit of ISO, ISO, ISO bullshit, the Celtics look fucking horrible out of nowhere. Whereas in the first half, they looked amazing. Peyton Pritchard, they're moving the ball everywhere. Pritchard was shredding at the half. And then, you know, they got up massive and then it all just went to shit. So thing is, they hold on for a 122-119 win over the Buckaroos, who did not have Giannis. That seems like a big point to make here. No Giannis. They should have, and they were killing them. And then they had 2 different 3-minute stretches in the fourth quarter where they just didn't score. Now, again, I'm no math magician, but if you don't score for about roughly half of the actual running time in the fourth quarter, yeah, you might have fucked up. So what are you doing, Boston? Is it something they can work on for the last 3 weeks? Yes. Will they? Hopefully. Dame had 32 points in the end. He went 6-10 from downtown. Middleton had 22, 6-6. And to be honest, you're not going to get too bent out of shape about the Bucks. If Giannis can't go, you'd rather him rest and then save him for the playoffs, right? That's fine. So Lopez, he had the 8-4 with a couple of blocks. 24 for Portis off the bench, but that's it. It's one of those things where, yeah, if they don't have all their dudes, they look pretty thin. 2 of 8 shooting from Malik Beasley didn't help either. 31-8-4 with 3 steals and 2 blocks for Tatum. Not bad, Jason. Jason, not fucking bad, man. 23 for Derek White with 8 assists and 21-8-2 for Jalen Brown. 2 of 4 from downtown for him. 4 of 11 for Derek White. 19 points for Derek, not for Derek, for Peyton Pritchard, though, who was out there getting into it and getting offensive rebounds up against Brook Lopez, who, to be honest, people are making a big deal out about this. Peyton Pritchard, he's 6 foot. He's out rebounding Brook Lopez, who's 7. It's like, yeah. Have you ever watched Brook Lopez rebound? I have for a very long time in person. He's shit. Like, I get that he's gotten better and better and better at the Bucks because he's gotten more and more sort of defensive responsibility. But at the same time, if there's one center in the entire NBA that you should not be surprised got out-rebounded by a 6-foot white dude, it's Brook Lopez. Simple as that. Anyway, good win for the Celtics now, 55-14. That is their over for the season. 54.5 was the win total. So they've already topped that. Not bad. And the Milwaukee Bucks, 44-25. They're still fine because with Cleveland losing today as well, that's the 2-3 spots. They're okay. So Sacramento kicked the shit out. Toronto picked this one pretty easily. The Kings, look, they're going to beat up on teams that are not paying attention, and Toronto are tanking. So easy win for the Kings. They ran right over the top of them. I think they doubled them up in the second quarter. It was like 36-18 or something. It was awesome. So the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, another triple-double, classic gear. 18 points for Gary Terrence, Trent Darby Jr. But when you look at the Raptors lineups and you're like, yeah, this is not a stealth tank job anymore. It's just they're tanking. They started Kelly Olynyk, the Hoosier, hello. Bruce Brown, not bad. Gary Terrence, Trent Darby Jr., again, not bad. Okchai Agbaji and Grady Dick. So that's 3 NBA players and a couple of young dudes. You'll pay that. But that's how you do tank. Get some games under Dick's, under his hood. And away you go. Oh, Lord. Anyway, there was not much else going on for the Raptors offensively. They scored 89 points. Come on, man. 13 points for Agbaji. I do like the look of him at times. He is very streaky. Speaking of streaky, Grady Dick, 1 of 8. Either way, I do like that Nasir Little was like, hey, why is everybody wanting me to pose with Grady? It's like, yeah, because of the little dick. I love that. It's not bad. I think we've got a list of people who could actually, yeah, do a jersey swap with Grady Dick, and it would be pretty funny. There's like Harden. Dick Harden, not bad. There's just so many of them. But little Dick is pretty funny. The Kings, as mentioned, Sabonis to 13, 7, and 10. Very good. 20 points as well for De'Aaron Fox. They barely broke a sweat in this one. 16 as well for Black Falcon, Harrison Barnes. And Malik Monk had a sick dunk and 17 total points. Kings now moved to 40 and 28. The Raps 23 and 46. And that is just a bit of a tough one, I'll tell you. We had OKC. Run roughshod over Atlanta. Big fourth quarter it actually took. Look, I talked about this one yesterday. I actually picked Utah in yesterday's picks for pretty much this exact reason. They would just play hard. They didn't even have Larry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, or Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. And they still, and like they got fuck all from their starters. Like John Collins, that's a total cocktail. He's still alive. He survived that vicious attack by Ant-Man. He had 16 and 6, but it took 25 points from the sex man, Colin Sexton, off the bench to keep them within punching distance. And it took the Thunder a pretty big run across the third and fourth quarters to actually get the win. So 119-107, they get there in the end. SGA, hey, Jim, what did he score? Does it rhyme with 31? Yeah, it was fucking 31. Again, that's just what he does. He goes, all right, boys, I got with 31, pack her up, we're done. It's like, shy, we've got a game to win. He's like, nah, I got with 31, boys. So yeah. Pretty great. You did have a pretty tough one for Josh Giddey, though. 5 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, but still 35 for Chet Holmgren. He was the story for this one. He dominated. He looked incredible. 14 rebounds. Jeez, 14 assists for Chet would be pretty good. 3 blocks. Absolutely crushed it. J-Dub, 18-2. Nice win for the Thunder. Still on top of the West, 48-20. The Yaz, it's a soft J, 29-40. What else? We had the Grizzlies fall short by 21 points. It's not really falling short. It's getting your ass kicked. By the Warriors, 130. So we had a bit of a brouhaha between Desmond Bane and Draymond Green. And Taylor Jenkins got cleaned up, the coach of the Grizzlies. Either way, Warriors shot 58% from the floor and 48% from three. Again, I'm no math magician, but if Steph Curry's not doing most of that, yeah, you're in fucking trouble. And that's exactly what happened today. Come bucket. Johnny Kuminga was absolutely unstoppable. J.J. Jackson had 35 for the Grizzlies. He had 28 from Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. Too many Jacksons. This is Memphis are turning into the Jackson 5 at this point. There's just like a million Jacksons. Which one's fucking Tito? Come on, man. 27-9-4 for Santi Aldama. He might be Tito. I don't know. Now I'm just stuck on what were the other Jackson's names? It's like Jermaine, Tito, Little Michael. I love Little Michael. Anyway, 26 for Cumbucket. He was fantastic. 22 for Wiggins as well. Maple Jordan, he's back. But 23 for Clay. Loving this off the bench. Clay just sort of getting into a groove and realizing, yeah, all I got to do is hit some fucking shots. He went 5-11 from three. And I think Chris Paul had 14 assists, 12 points, and 0 turnovers. Not bad. Anyway, easy win for the Warriors. They do have a marked history against the Grizzlies, so it was kind of fun to see them go at it, even with the Grizzlies at a point where they've gone through the most players in NBA history on a roster in 1 year. Again. Just starting, obviously, as I've said time and time again, the Memphis Hustle featuring a couple of, Desmond Bane, who had a Barry Crocker shocker. But, yeah, Triple J, and that's about it. So, anyway, Grizzlies 23 and 47, Warriors 36 and 42. Last two, Phoenix kicked the shit out of Philly. I actually tipped Philly yesterday on the show, and then this morning I was looking at it going, I've made a horrible mistake. Phoenix are going to fucking kill them. And then they got up by 20, and I'm like, nailed it. So sad. But it was Maxey going 3 of 13. Like, if he's going to have a shit game, then they're cooked, because Kelly Oubre Jr., he's not up to it. What's he going to do, save your game? Not going to happen. 18 points for him. Nick Batum at 8 points, 9 points for Mo Bamba, and very little else. Yeah. It is amazing how capped out the Sixers are and how shit that team is. It's like, well, we've got Kyle Lowry. It's like Kyle Lowry is built like a bowling ball and he's 400 fucking years old. Settle down, mate. He's not going to save a game. And the Suns just ran over the top of them. 22, 8, and 4 for KD. Yeah, 32 from Grayson Allen, the most punchable man in the NBA. He hit 9 of 15 from 3. 18, 9, and 11 for Devin Booker. And Brad Beal went 1 of 6, had 3 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 turnovers, and they won, walking away. When Grayson Allen turns into fucking Johnny Storm, yeah, pack her up, boys, you're done. Bol Bol had 10 points, though. Watch out. Attack of the Bol Bol. Phoenix, 14-29, big win for them in terms of the standings race, and a tough loss for the Sixers, 38-31, because those two teams are obviously in dogfights across the sort of – we need like a line name, the playoff line, right? So the top six and then the guys next to it. It's like the play-in line, right? Essentially, because the Sixers now drop down to 8 at 38-31. And the Suns are in 8th, but basically with that win tied back up with Dallas on the exact same record, but they hold the tiebreaker. So, yeah, interesting. Both in the 8 spots. Weird. Considering they would have been two of the favorites before the season. Jeez, Jim, that's pretty insightful. Thanks. The Clippers also then kicked the shit out of the Blazers. Blazers had like a million turnovers. It was a sad game. I'd bet on this one as well, just saying. I didn't call up JB Bickerstaff, though. 116-103, they fucking killed him. The weirdest part of this game was when James Harden passed the ball to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard standing in the corner. He's like, I'm going to shoot this. James Harden goes, hang on a second. I'm going to try to block his shot. They're on the same team. What are you doing? James Harden. He's like, I just passed that guy the ball. Let's try and block the shot. What are you doing? Talk about fuck around and find out. That was chaos. Imagine if this game had mattered. Imagine if they'd played this game against someone who was good. That was unbelievable. It was also very fucking funny. Low key, maybe James Harden is just an absolute piss take and he's a very funny bugger. Maybe that's why people love him. Maybe he's also just a really good party host, hanging out with little baby, going to the strip club, blocking your teammate shots. Like, who knows? It's great. It was weird as fuck. Like, it really was. James Harden, just like a short circuit just off in his brain. He's like, fat man who barely clean, and just went, just fucking, let's try to block that shot, motherfucker. And off he went. It was wild. Anyway, maybe he had like a bet with he and Paul George. Paul George was like, hey, James, don't let him score more than me today. Give you $100 if I score more. Harden's like, wait, I just passed it to Kawhi. Paul George has got 27. Kawhi's on 24. No! Like, that's probably what's happened. I love that idea. Anyway, 27 for Paul George, 24 for Kawhi. 19-4-14 to James Harden. Big win for the Clippers for the simple fact that, yeah, they just needed a steadier. And the Blazers are shit. So 18 for Scoot on 6 of 15 shooting. Anthony Penny-Simons, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 6 of 11 shooting. It's just, it's tough. The Grim Reaper, though, the Great Barrier Reef himself, doo-wop, shap-bop, doo-wop, 8-2-1 with a block. Not bad for his 16 minutes. He's hit a nice little period at the moment after his back-to-back zero-point outings a week and a half ago. He's had a nice little run, so that's pretty good. 17-5 for Chris Murray as well, aka the shit Murray. 19-50 now the Blazers. The Clippers are 43-25. Who is the NBA Australia approved performer of the night?
That's not a night. That's a night.
Well, it wasn't James Harden because he tried to block his fucking teammate's shot. I'm going to give this one to Chet. He dominated that game, and Utah are pesky. We know that there's stealth tanking, but they just play hard. Will Hardy's an awesome coach, and he's like, right, boys, today, just fucking give it your all. And each day they're like, yeah, let's do it. It's wild. But Chet went out there and dominated from the get-go. 35 points, 14 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. We would be doing backflips. I've got 2 points here. We'd be doing backflips. Backflips, I tell you about Chet Holmgren. Any other year except this one. Fucking Victor Wembanyama has completely ruined it. Chet Holmgren's just going to be like, this fucking guy, man, I'm doing shit that no one has done before. And this fucking French bastard, he just rolls up looking like some weird fucking alien, more so even than me. Like, we both look fucking weird. And I can't even just fucking hold on to that. He had to outweird me because he's 7'40". This is fucked. And he's having a great season on a really, on the number one team in the West. The Spurs are still shit. Chet Holmgren should still be rookie of the fucking year because he's helped boost this team to fucking heights never before seen by Oklahoma City since the days of fucking Kevin Durant, Rusty Westbrook, and James Harden in their pomp. Remember when they were on one team? After they stole my beloved fucking Seattle Supersonics, blow it out your ass, Oklahoma City. But by the same token, Chet's amazing. And what it also sort of bashed home in my brain was like, this is why you don't put a fucking team in Oklahoma City. Seriously, no one fucking cares. Like, this team is on top of the West and no one fucking talks about them. I talk about them all the time because I've got a bugbear and I fucking love Josh Giddey. Simple as that. If this team was in Seattle, this would be the fucking Rain Man, Sean Kemp, and Gary the Glove Payton all over again. It would be fucking nuts. Seattle would be going ape shit. It would be fucking awesome. Instead, they're out there in buttfuck Oklahoma City where no one apart from fucking the rest of Oklahoma cares. It's like, oh, look, market size doesn't matter in today's NBA. Yes, it fucking does. Dude, all we're doing is talking about the Warriors and the Lakers, and they're the 9 and fucking 10 seeds. The Thunder on top of the West, they've got this fucking huge, awesome, awesome roster full of young talent, including basically the best, what, American-born player we've seen for a little while, Chet Holmgren. And, like, SGA is in the MVP conversation. We all get that because the dude's scoring 31 points fucking like clockwork. Outside of that, though, fucking zero talk. It's chaos. I love him, but put him back in Seattle. Simple as that. Give the Thunder a fucking expansion team. Come on, man. Give the Oklahoma Cityans a fucking expansion team at this point. This should be Seattle. It just grinds my gears. Can you tell? I just fucking yelled about it for 5 minutes. Spud of the night!
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Our Desmond Bane, 2 of 13. Maxi went 3 of 13. Tough one for both their squads, right? Because so much just like revolves around both those dudes. And if they're going to have an off night, it's like an automatic loss. And that's exactly what happened for both. Already mentioned Dick, 1 of 8. Pretty tough one for Grady, a.k.a. BJ from Righteous Gemstones. Caleb Martin, 1 of 7 as well. Bones Highland and Isaiah Joe both shot 0 of 4. Bit of a rough one. We had Delano Banton go 4 of 12. He had the 6 of 15 for Scoot. And I'll tell you what, though. My favorite part of today was a Paddy Thrills Mills. Had his first start in a couple of years for the Miami Heat this time. He got a start, hit a couple of shots, was on absolutely on fire. He took a heat check at one point. It's like, yes, motherfucker, Paddy Mills heat check, let's go. But in the end, what did he shoot, Jim? What did he shoot?
Dream of juice, have you ever made out the dark hallway? This place, I just
made your day. Woo! That's right, he went and shot 311. Thank you, Paddy Mills. You made my bloody day. What a legend. He just did it for me, I reckon. Jody's like, oh, this one's going to gym. 311, start. It's going to be great. Who's old mate no mates, once I find the button again?
Old mate, no mate.
Who's got no mates today? Well, obviously Joey Muzz for being banned for like blocking dead ball shots by the opposition. Oh, fucking, I just want to block the shots, bro. What are you doing, man? I'm just fucking, I'm a competitor, eh? Oh, fucking, have you done jiu-jitsu? Fucker, let's go. Also, in that same game, Pat Bev got into it with Peyton Pritchard. And Peyton Pritchard was getting MVP chants from the Boston crowd. They're like, scrappy little white guy, let's go, dude. And away they went. But Pat Bev got in his face and Peyton Pritchard scored like 13 points in the quarter. It was fucking nuts. Ripping down rebounds against giant dudes. But really, the old mates, I mentioned this before, the Grizzlies setting a new record, topping their own record for most NBA players used on a roster in an NBA season. 29 players. That's double the size, basically, of your actual active roster of 15. It's like, we've got one team and we've played an entire another one as well throughout this entire fucking year. That's how bad they've been dealing with injuries. It's insane. I also love that they brought up a dude who, Mayo Zinga Pereira. Jesus. that is just a fucking mouthful of a name. Good on him. To be honest, they probably would have gone, fuck, should we play him? I can't say his name. This is going to be nuts. But either way, they broke their own record of 28 players, which came back in 15-16. 29 players is pretty nuts. They might also still reach 30 because Brandon Clark is still on his way back from his Achilles tear. So he might even play before the end of the season. But that is pretty nuts. They've used 42 different starting lineups. That's just stupid. So, yeah, they're just as a franchise, it feels like the Memphis Grizzlies are old mate, no mates. Because, again, I talked about the basketball gods before. They've got to fix fucking something up down there in Memphis. I don't know. Pantsing of the night. Yeah, it's a bit of a pantsing of the night when you get steamrolled by a bunch of dudes fighting because you turned your back on them. I feel like if there's a bit of, like, even a hint of a brouhaha, never turn your back on it because Taylor Jenkins got fucking just steamrolled, poleaxed, because Desmond Bane and Draymond sort of got into a bit of a, you know, push and shove here and there. But Taylor Jenkins just went down like a sack of shit because he didn't have his fucking, he wasn't looking at them. He was too busy arguing with the refs. If Draymond Green is suddenly getting into it with any of your players, I want fucking eyeballs on Draymond at all times. He might punch his own fucking teammate in the head. If you've got a giant European guy on your team, he might fucking try to kill him. Might stomp through his chest as well, like our mate Homie. I don't know, Gerald, like fucking, who knows what's going on. But Taylor Jenkins, head on a swivel, mate. What are you doing? That's a pantsing. Finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. That's right. GG Jackson and the comeback at Johnny Kuminga in the same game. GG Jackson had 35 points today. He shot 7 of 14 from downtown, 11 of 19 overall. He was awesome. 5 rebounds and 3 assists. And Kuminga, he was fantastic. 26-5-4. Watching him just sort of do his thing, you're like, what do you need Andrew Wiggins? Just all the Kuminga all the time. 12 of 17 shooting, 2 of 3 from downtown. Come bucket. Big one. GG Jackson, Skadooge, both better than Lonzo Ball. All right, let's do some Yenars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, yeah, Nas, brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch, get your merch. Go to nbaaustralia.com/shop. Just click through on the socials, whatever you need to do. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug. Still haven't brought one in. What am I doing? Moron. We had a couple of good ones though. Patty Mills, is this just proof that he's got plenty left in the tank? Yeah, nah, yes. I loved it. I love that Eric Spoelstra was like, fuck yeah, I'll start Patty Mills. Let's go. This is great. Matty George sent this one through. Patty boy, myself. Wait, no, that's his other one about being from St. Pat's. We had a Ballarat conversation. Patty Mills doing the right thing for the pod, Jim. 311. You better bloody believe it. Yeah, nah, yes. Legendary. The thing is, it's been like years since we had a Patty Mills 311, so I fucking loved every second of that. I was legitimately just like fucking stoked. I was watching that game, and I'm like, I think that's his 11th shot. Yes, mate! Straight on the internet. Off we go. Play the drop. Other yeah-nahs we have. Isaiah Thomas. Is there any scope for him to actually help out the Suns? Yeah, nah, you'd have to be pretty fucking desperate. But the thing is, the Suns might actually have that. I actually don't mind it just in terms of redundancy, right? You've got Brad Beal who gets fucking hurt the sooner, like, he gets out of bed. And he's like, oh, I'm a hammy. Oh, I'm a calf. Who is he, Jim? You? Maybe. But just having, like, at least another electric scorer off the bench, even though Isaiah Thomas was past it a couple of years ago and can barely move nowadays, it's a breaking case of emergency kind of thing. The weirdest part for me is that Phoenix, we had Kevin Durant fucking blowing just all sorts of smoke up Patty Mills' ass before Patty signed with Miami. Phoenix had the opportunity to go and get Patty. They've completely cooked it. And then they go with the little guy who's, what, been tearing up the G League, essentially giving a bit of a prove-it moment. But I mean, he got out there for 2 minutes today, took one shot, missed it, and had an assist. So, I don't know. Maybe if he gets back into a bit of shape, maybe a bit of form, he could help a little bit, but it's 2024. I don't quite see it, so I'm going to probably say nah. Last one, Dave Brown. Hey, Jimmy, hope you're well. Do I have to burn my John Collins jersey after he got cremated by Ant-Man? It is a Hawks one. Maybe that's my leave pass to keep it. Yeah, nah, look, I'm actually fine with that because it's the Hawks one. You're fine. Nah, you don't have to burn it. That's fine. Keep it because that's the John Collins. It's a tall cocktail jersey. That's where it all came from. The Utah Jazz jersey, though, if you owned a Utah Jazz John Collins jersey, yeah, you got to send that one up to the fucking basketball gods and chuck her on the bonfire and just let it free because the poor guy died. He died for our sins. Well, his own sins of trying to. Hey, I've said time and time again, though, no contest shaming. If you're going to try to block a shot, try to fucking block the shot. Like, that's fucking cool. That's actually kind of cool. Austin Reeves probably should have fucking tried harder. Instead, got a dick to the face. Anyway, unpopular opinion of the day. I believe we have this one here somewhere.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Look, blowout Thursday. It was kind of like a weird day where I'm like, oh, do I need to watch much more of this one? And then it was kind of that moment of like, all right, no, I do need to keep watching these because look what happened with Milwaukee and Boston. And like, this is kind of it. The unpopular opinion of the day basically comes down to the idea of like, just keep fucking watching sometimes. It's awesome. It was really fucking fun watching the Bucks come from absolutely nowhere, knowing that every Celtics fan that I know is absolutely shitting themselves in that exact moment as well. And it was kind of cool. So good job. But also, like, it's much more about these teams taking care of business. People will keep saying, oh, it's the doldrums of the NBA season. We're just waiting for the playoffs to start. Fuck that. This is awesome. Do you know how much fun it is to be able to watch like 7 or 8 games of basketball in one day? Because in like 3 weeks' time, it'll be down to a couple of games because we're in the playoffs. Yes, the games will matter a little bit more, but I'll be sitting there going, fuck, man. Just wish I could watch Utah get shit pumped. Like, that'd be fun. Or just like see what Portland are going to do weird today. So remember, just sort of appreciate what you got when you got it. And then finally, Outback Steakhouse. It's Thursday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh yeah, 2-for-1 blooming onions. That's right. No prick in Australia has ever fucking heard of this. It's some sort of deep fried onion made to look like a flower. If that isn't some weird fruity American bullshit, I don't know fucking what, but it's fucking weird. Blow it out your ass, you weird fucking yanks. Still, 2-for-1, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, more players should try to block their own teammates' shots. Make them work harder, I say. That's fucking great. James Harden is doing us all a favor. He's like, that shot is too open, Kawhi. Here, I'm gonna up the level of fucking difficulty. What a lunatic. It was the funniest, stupidest, most James Harden shit you'll ever see. I loved every second of it. That, for that matter as well, more coaches should be doing the Joey Muzz. Honestly, talk about the fucking brotherhood of coaching. Why aren't more coaches going out there going, we stand in solidarity with Joey Muzz. We're going to all try to block shots when there's a dead ball situation. Fucking yes, mate. You see, will fucking Taylor Jenkins do a knee or something like that? Mike Brown go, I can't be fucked. Anyway, I'm just saying, no free passes, only at Outback. Make them all work harder. All right, we'll go straight into the Australian Player Watch because I don't have the drop on this one. But that's all right. We had Josh Giddey, as I mentioned earlier, in that game. Let's actually start with the duop, the Grim Reaper. He had the 8 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He got 3 of 8, but 2 of 4 from downtown. Aussie Matty T, he was dealing with an ankle from a couple of days ago as well, so he didn't play in this one. He was injured. We also had, obviously, Patty Thrills, Patty Mills, in that Miami-Cleveland game. He had the 10 points. He shot 3-11. Love it. I just want to play the drop again. Do the drop. Play the drop, Jim. Play the damn drop, Jim. I shall. Patty Mills. I got to learn how to play this song, too. Fuck it. Woo! That's right, he went 3-11. But still, 10 points as a starter. He played 25 minutes, 1 of 8 from 3. he had a moment there where he looked really fucking dangerous and then didn't hit any more shots. And it was a bit sad. 3-3 from the line, though. 4 assists, 1 rebound, 2 steals, repaying the faith that Eric Spoelstra had in him. And as I mentioned earlier, for the Thunder, Josh Giddey, the Wheatbix kid, had a bit of a rough shooting night. He had the 5 points and 2 of 5 shooting, 1 of 2 from downtown. But he... Wait, no, that's not right. It was worse than that. 2 of 9, 1 of 3 from the three. He did have 11 rebounds and 8 assists, though. So you'll take that from your point guard. 1 block, 2. He was a plus 28 in a game they won by 12. Giddey up. Giddey up. The Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Where was that one? Let's play the fun game of Find the Drops. It's the first Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber. There you go. This one goes to SGA. So I made the joke about him averaging 31 points a game because he just goes, all right, I've scored 31. Boys, pack her up. We're done here. But he had, that was his 50th game this season, scoring 30 points. It's pretty good. 50. It's actually so good that he's the first player to do it since Jimmy Harden did it back in Fat Man Hoop, Houston Clan, in 2018-19. And the first player to do it age 25 or younger since fucking T-Mac back in 02-03. Before that, it was Jordan in 87-88. That is pretty bloody good, I'll tell you. And there's also like a pretty short number of like dudes who have actually done that throughout an entire season. It's like 13 or 14. So to hit 30 points 50 times a season, like it's fucking hard to average 30 points a game. It hasn't been done that many times. So awesome job. SGA. A Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Your Shot Light Him Up Award as well. Steph Curry hit his 300th made three this season. It's been done 7 times ever. 300 threes, Gerald, in a season. If you had to guess, how many do you reckon of them have been done by Steph? If you answered 5, you'd be right. 5 of the 7. That's fucking absurd. Clay did it one other time and was at Harden before that as well. So not bloody bad. Harden had it in 18-19. Both Harden and Clay did it in 18-19. Harden had 299 the year after. Weird. Righto, what about a Patty Mills Game Day Ball or Game Day Twitter check-in? Let's do it. Let's have a look. What's going on in the world of Patty Thrills Mills? Here we go. There you go, just clapping it up, beating the Cavs. This is great. There's a picture of him and Jaime. Jaime getting seemingly sexually assaulted by George Niang, but that's okay. Cool. Culture on 3. 1, 2, 3. Patty Mills in the background. Oh, I love this combination of Heat culture and Boomer culture. And there's, oh, that is a beautiful picture too. Of him just driving with the ball. Patty Thrills, you absolute star. What a legend. All right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews, game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. Actually, that Patty Mills stuff, like him getting a start, fucking hell. Talk about like, how nervous were you if he was going to stay in Atlanta and just not play in the lead up to the fucking Gay Paris Olympics? Shitting myself. Now he's actually out there on the Heat, getting better, combining Heat culture and Boomer culture. We're going to win the fucking gold. I don't care how tough our group is. Anyway, tomorrow, New Orleans go to Orlando. Massive, awesome matchup. Pelicans have been playing pretty well up and down. You know, the only weird sort of blip in the last couple of weeks. Like Zion's been dominating. They had a weird shit game about a week ago. Orlando, same sort of vibe, but they are one of the best teams covering the line in the NBA, the Magic men. It's hard to go against them too. So getting 2.5 points at home, the way the Pelicans have been playing, I actually don't mind Orlando's defense to just throw a bit of a fucking spanner in the works. They've got a bit of size on the perimeter. We know that between Pato, Bangaro, and Franz Wagner, Wendell, Suggs and co. And if you can sort of throw, there's another one. You can put Suggs and Dick as a jersey swap. What do you reckon, Gerald? Do you like that one? Yeah, that's a nod. That's good. came from nowhere. Anyway, Orlando. I just think defensively, they're going to make the Pelicans work a little bit tougher. So give me the Magic plus 2.5 at home. Sacramento, go to Washington. Having scored a big win against Toronto today. 11.5 is a bit, but Washington have fucking totally put the Q in the rack. So I'm just going to go the Kings. Fuck it. Like, roll Malik Monk out there and he could just beat the Wizards by himself, I reckon. Give me the Kings minus 11.5. on a back-to-back on the road to be favourited by 12 points is fucking absurd. But this is the 2024 Wizards we're talking about. So go on the Kings. Fuck it. Chicago, Houston. Surprisingly a fun, weird game because you've got two teams in Houston actually still pushing for the 10 seed in the West. Only a few games back of the Warriors and the Lakers. Well, Chicago are in the 10 spot basically in the East at the moment, right? So, no, 9 spot. They're ahead of Atlanta. Trying just to get to 500. Trying desperately. I like the Rockets, though. Jalen Green has been playing awesome with out Alperin, Patrick Ewing, Şengün out there. So, give me Houston -3.5 at home, where they have been pretty good this season, I'll tell you. Actually, we could actually look at how good they've been at covering the line at home as well. I can't imagine it's great because they have had some pretty tough losses, but they've won a fair amount of games at home. So this is a good thing, having these statistics and good stuff right at your old busted fingertips, he says, showing off his fancy new knuckle duster. Don't cross me, Gerald. Houston, they've covered 4 of their last 5. And at home, they're actually 23-10-1. That's the second best record in the fucking league. We are going Houston at the line at home. See, I knew there was something there. Didn't know what it was, but there was something. Anyway, Brooklyn, take on Milwaukee. It's Algonquin for the good land. Milwaukee, tomorrow. I doubt that they take Middleton into this game. Brook Lopez revenge game, maybe, ? I don't know if you'd even risk Giannis. I'd just sort of fucking go, nah, pack her up, boys. We're not even going to play Dame. I'm taking Brooklyn +9.5. I hate Brooklyn. Brooklyn is shit. I hate watching Brooklyn. I hate talking about Brooklyn. Brooklyn suck. But I am taking Brooklyn +9.5. Utah, go to Dallas. This is the day after the Jazz. I mean, got pretty badly smoked today. In the end, you know, by OKC. But on a back-to-back, on the road, in Dallas, who can definitely light up a team that's a little bit slow. I'm going to take the Mavs -13.5 at home. Kyrie and Luka go bang. The Knickerbockers take on Denver. The Knicks are 8.5-point underdogs in Denver. I'm going to take the Knicks. Fuck it. I think they can go the old choke the life out of Denver and cover that line. Come from the clouds maybe and just put up a bit of a fight late. But give me the Knicks +8.5 in Denver. And then Atlanta in Phoenix. Atlanta, look, they've had some ups and downs. They got smashed by the Lakers on the weekend. 9.5 against Phoenix on a back-to-back though. I'm going to take Atlanta. They're going to make a little bit of a push. They need to sort of like finish off this regular season properly, get into the play-in game and hope for the best. So I'll take the Hawks +9.5. And there you go. That's an entire show. Love that. Not bad, man. Not bad. It was a weird day with so many blowouts and then like, what, 2 close games out of nowhere and a bunch of blowouts. It was still a really entertaining NBA day. So we'll be back on deck tomorrow, of course. But in the meantime, remember, you can follow NBA Australia on Twitter, Face EIG. But more importantly, check out the AFL Today show. We've got a live stream going, which you can watch back. But also, you can just go listen to the show that we're going to do for Thursday night teams, which is always good. Breaking down every game, doing all the good stuff. That's what we do on AFL Today. It's all the lighthearted, fun shit of fucking footy. It's the best parts of it. God, I love it. I love talking footy. Anyway, AFL Today show, you can find that on YouTube or your podcast apps, whatever you need to do as well, and across all the socials as well. You can watch my awesome TikTok of trying to figure out which player is better than Patrick Cripps. # spoiler alert, it's fucking no one. Bang! Check us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher. No, that doesn't exist anymore. Whatever app you use on your Android phone. It does help out. Rate and review it. And also the AFL official Supercoach show. Jump on that. Leave a rating and review for me. Tell me how I'm doing as a host. Jim, you shit. I don't care, man. Help a brother out. Just do a 5-star review and tell everyone how good I am. That'd be good. It really does help. So anyway, nbaaustralia.com/shop for all your merch. And big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, as well as House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Section 8, Green, 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 and Dozers. Jeez, you wouldn't think I've said that about 1,000 times, Gerald. And I still have to read it. Anyway, you can hear all their tunes on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever you use to listen to your tunes, do that. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. But that's it. We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads, for a big Friday weekend preview show. Shoo. It's a really big shoo. Oh, yes. Big weekend preview show. It'll be awesome. All right. Until then, this is NBA Australia saying look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna!